this is a very peculiar case because it's really hard to place this individual in any particular of the large categories. So he's not an Islamist extremist. He's not clearly not a right-wing extremist, as he is an African-American. He's not a leftist. From the best I can tell from the rambling videos that I was able to watch of his on YouTube, is that he has a lot of pent-up anger, a hatred towards white Americans for all the injustices that African-Americans, it's true, experienced over the last couple hundred years. And he seems to have channeled all that anger into this horrible, senseless attack that, apart from the violence, really doesn't seem to have much of a political message. It does show a couple of security gaps in our transport system, mind you, but this is clearly an individual with a lot of psychological baggage, as far as I can tell. I'm not a psychologist, but it very much looks like it.
Well, Hans, one of the things that's important about this is that some of the videos that you mentioned, he did make some statements that some, I think, in the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York have interpreted as political statements. And I think those are typically considered when you are thinking about a terrorism charge. Is that right?
Yeah, that is the definition. So contrary to, maybe the normal assumption, a terrorism charge is not that you have to belong to a terrorist organization. A terrorism charge is based on you having ideological views and using violence to intimidate others to achieve your aims. So in that case, you can be charged with terrorism without belonging to a large group. You don't have to be an Al-Qaeda member to be an Islamist terrorist if your violence is inspired by radical extremist Islamist views. And the same is here. It's clearly not placeable within a terror structure, at least from what we know so far about this individual. But yet he had very strong, racist views the other way around from the way that racism is usually in America. And he used violence to, which was motivated by these views. And he made very clear in some of the videos that, he wants to kill. And in one video, he said, there should be more mass shooting. So, this is enough to get you charged for terrorism.
Yeah. So one of the things that I know that's very close to you and the work you and the Counter-Extremism Project do are videos, violent videos that, essentially do this kind of thing, promoting violence for the sake of terrorism or just violence anyway, are being available online. And apparently he's been making these videos and you clearly saw them. I think everybody's seen them in the last day or so. And that is a problem that stuff like that can still exist. But this is the proof of why what you've been saying is so important, that they have to be eliminated.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this would have been a great chance for YouTube, who analyzes all of the videos ever anyone posts on online for their commercial usability, and to act as a pre-warning mechanism. I mean, these videos have been posted for a long time. He clearly has violent thoughts. He clearly has violent intentions. He says so clearly on the videos. Not only were those videos not taken down, now they're down. If you want to watch them now for research purposes, they're no longer available. So YouTube closed the account, as they usually do afterwards, which really doesn't help anyone. But no one picked this up on YouTube site. No one gave a warning on YouTube site. So it's, again, a failure of where violence is clearly announced and it's up to the users or whoever else apparently is supposed to be looking through YouTube and not YouTube to act as the early warning mechanism. While I guarantee you the algorithm of YouTube had ranked this video many, many times.
One final thing. Where are you and your organization in getting, this is almost a nonsensical question considering this is one story where essentially, this video slipped under the radar, but where are you and your organization at in getting the attention of YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and other organizations about this problem?
Oh, we and a growing number of organizations, whether they focus on right-wing extremism, on Islamist terrorism, on left-wing extremism around the globe, have been calling for the industry to do much better. The problem is we can embarrass platforms, we can make public campaigns about this. It will not strategically change until this industry, as an industry, is regulated the way any other industry is, that your services generate, because you're generating money with it, you're generating liability with it as well. If any other industry produces a product that causes harm, they have to withdraw it from the market, they pay a fine, and that really ensures that industries try not to put products out which cause harm. This industry, with Section 230 of the US Communications Decency Act, is by definition mostly exempt from liability, i.e. you cannot file a liability charge against any of the big platforms. In this case, it would be YouTube, because you got harmed of this individual who clearly announced its intentions and YouTube did nothing until the act was done. It's not possible in the United States. And the same thing, tragically, is on the European side. It's in the e-commerce directive of 2000, and there's an update now, the European Digital Services Act, which again exempts the industry by and large from liability. This will not change. We can see another dozen mass shootings that were announced online, or horrible terror attacks who have a much broader global reach, because videos of the shootings, like in Hanau, like in Christchurch, get shared millions of times, or terror organizations like Islamic State showing us beheading videos and organizing terror attacks via social media, unless there is a commercial and legal incentive for the industry to actually do what most other industries do very well, compliance, to make sure that if their services are getting misused for terrorism, for violence, or for crime, that they catch this before anyone from the outside has to catch this. The system right now means we as users, us as CEP, you as a journalist, or by some miracle, the few police officers who are still able, you know, have the time to do some online investigations, we have to catch this. And not the company who analyzes every single bit of data on their platform for commercial purposes, sees all of these things, is aware of all of these things, at least technically aware that these things exist. They have to do nothing, nothing in particular anyway. So this is not a system that is going to work, and it has failed here, and it will fail in the future. The system, the way it's set up.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director of the Counter-Extremism Project, JJ Green, WTOP News.